WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave, in for Terry Gross.
Strange things happen every day. Strange things happen every day. Rolling down on a horse named Jimmy. Took a bath in a tub full of Remy. Had my companions with me, y'all. I was slow-running tiger,
yeah.
Fast-walking snail.
Yeah.
I was skinny bee locked in a jibber jail. Skinny bee locked in a jibber jail.
Yeah.
D-train laughing at the gasoline string. Three girls begging for a date with Iron Mike. Iron Mike, yeah. Three girls begging for a date with Iron Mike. Alabama cornbread dipped in Georgia buttermilk.
Music from Oladara's new CD, Neighborhoods. Oludara started his career in the 70s and 80s when he was part of the avant-garde loft scene and worked as a sideman with such adventurous jazz composers as David Murray and Henry Threadgill. In 1998, he released his first CD, a recording that bridged the music of Mississippi, where he grew up, with the sounds of New York, where he's lived since the 60s. Jazz critic Bob Blumenthal wrote in a review, Oludara creates a folk, blues, Afrobeat CD stew, where his singing and guitar playing are as prominent as his horn. In his new CD, Neighborhoods, Oludara adds a good bit of funk to the mix. Terry Gross spoke with Oludara in 1998.
How did you learn to play trumpet? And, you know, just like the cliche of Mississippi is almost that when you're born, they issue you a guitar so you can sing the blues. How did you end up with the trumpet?
Well, trumpet, I guess we came from another side of town, I guess. And I met a man who just found his way into Natchez, and he was looking for a place to stay, something to do, and he turned out to be a very brilliant man. And I would help him. I helped him unpack his goods. His name was Lavanda Kynes, and he was a very young man. I thought he was older because he was mixed gray. But he asked me, "What did I want to do?" I asked him, "What could he teach me?" He said, "Anything." I remember that today. He said, "Anything." So, and he did teach me anything I wanted to learn. I started with clarinet first, piano, and the cornet, and I learned typing in there with him, how to set a typeset for newspaper, you know, photography, filmmaking. This was in the 40s. Tap dancing, metaphysical talk, you know, art, everything. He was that kind of a guy. So I stayed around him at all times, and I started playing cornet with him at the age of 7. And at the age of 9 or 10, I was traveling with him throughout Louisiana and Mississippi.
Playing?
Playing, yeah, playing cornet.
Huh. Was it unusual for him to be traveling with somebody that young?
No, it wasn't unusual for young kids in Mississippi to travel. Young, I mean, during that time, kids could, I mean, I was driving a car at 11.
Wow.
You know, and, you know, we were drinking at 12 in public. That was in the 40s and early 50s, you know. So I thought the whole world lived like that, you know. But Mississippi evidently is different.
Now, you left Natchez in 1958 to go to Tennessee State in Nashville to study music, yes? To study music there?
No, I went to study medicine.
Medicine?
Medicine, yes. I was going to go from there to Meharry University, which was right there, medical school, which is in the same city. That was our plan. I say our plan because, you know, my mother was involved in that plan also. But I decided that Nashville was so rich with music, and the campus where I went to school, Tennessee State, was so rich with wonderful musicians, I decided to join the band and still studying medicine, pre-med, taking pre-med courses. But I just got the music bug. So what I did was I decided to go to the Navy School of Music. I joined the Navy and went to the Navy School of Music in Washington, D.C., only because I'd heard that John Coltrane and Cannonball Adderley and Clark Terry had gone to that school. So I decided to go to the Navy, and that's what happened. I did a year in school there, and then I played for another 3 years on ship.
So you went through the Navy in the Naval Band?
Yes.
So what kind of material would you have to play on ship?
Anything from Nearer My God to D, to marches, to dance music. I mean, we would be at the sea sometimes a long time, and we play dance music, you know? We play dance music, we play anything. Anything they want you to play, you had to play. And then back on shore, you play nightclubs, officers' clubs, play jazz clubs, you know, officers' clubs who like jazz and play for dances. You have to play everything. You play big bands also.
Now, how did you end up staying in New York after your years in the Navy?
I spent my last year in the military in New York. I was discharged in New York. I stayed around, and I ran out of money in New York. I was planning on going back to East Africa or Spain somewhere to live. I was only 24 years old, so I had nothing but freedom, nothing but time. And I ran out of money in New York, so I wound up in New York City.
I understand after you ended up in New York and decided to live there, you went for 8 years without performing.
Yes, I think it's around at 64, 70, yeah, maybe 8 years or whatever.
Why?
Well, I was kind of intimidated with the big New York scene. You know, I was still a small town person. Uh-huh. And I was living in a neighborhood with all these great artists I had heard about. I'd seen them in person. I've seen their records, heard their records or whatever. And I didn't think I was capable of playing on their level. And I hadn't tried. So, you know, I just thought that I was not good enough to play with them. And until I was basically forced into playing with them in a way they would... I would run into musicians who knew me in school, high school or college or the military, and they remember my talent better than I did. So eventually I got pushed back into the music world. So it just happened naturally, I believe.
Oludara, speaking with Terry Gross in 1998. His new CD is Neighborhoods. We'll hear more after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, we're featuring an interview with jazz musician Oludara. His new CD is Neighborhoods.
You ended up playing in Art Blakey's band for a while, the Jazz Messengers. And,
yes,
and Blakey's band was always considered just like a training ground for great musicians. I'm wondering what it was like for you.
Yeah, it's a good training ground for jazz musicians especially. But I felt that I had had enough of that. I thought I needed that. I thought that's what I really wanted. But you have to go somewhere to find out what you don't need, you know? And I found Blakey was very, very nice. He's a very sweet man. He saw that I had another vision. So he let me explore my vision within his group. Most musicians would not allow you to do that. He allowed me to sing, which I wasn't a singer, or to tell jokes, or to play different trumpet styles that I didn't get a chance to play with other bands. And when I left this band, I had another vision. I knew exactly what I wanted to do.
What?
And I wanted to explore music that I really enjoyed. I guess you call it world music now, but at the time, in the early 70s, my thinking was that I wanted to play everything that I could play that was enjoyable to me, and I knew it would be enjoyable to my listeners, and I didn't want to bore myself or my listeners with the same sound.
A lot of jazz listeners were introduced to your work in the mid-70s through the 80s when you were playing early on in that period in what was known as the loft jazz scene. And then you were a really important sideman in bands led by the emerging composers of the period, composers who had a foot in the avant-garde, thinking of people like Henry Threadgill and David Murray, Julius Hempel. And I'm wondering how you fell in with that group of people, those emerging composers of the time, who were very adventurous in their compositions and drawing on basically all of jazz history.
Well, it was, I don't know how it happened either, but I do remember being here before they were here. And they were, so you could say, immigrating from cities. Chicago, the St. Louis musicians, a California musician. And I was already here, and they found it very difficult to find good trumpet players who could interpret their music since it was new to this area. And I was also looking for something else to do because I had just left Art Blakey's group and there was nothing else happening here. And so when they came here, it was a perfect opportunity for me to do something and to be able to help them expand the sounds they wanted to get out here. And I found it very easy for me to fit in with their groups, and I found that I was of some use to their band. And it really helped me, and I think I really helped them.
I want to play something from a 1980 album that you were on. This is the David Murray Octet. The album is called Ming, and I'll play a David Murray composition called Dewey Circle. And you're featured on cornet or trumpet on this? I'm trying to remember.
Oh, it must be trumpet.
Trumpet. And you're very prominently featured on this, and you take the first solo. So let's hear Dewey Circle, recorded in 1980. My guest, Olu Dara, on trumpet. Dewey Circle from the 1980 David Murray album, Ming, and we heard David Murray on tenor, Henry Threadgill on alto saxophone, my guest Olu Dara on trumpet. The energy on that recording is so great and really typical of some of the best kind of playing of that period, combining like the energy of the avant-garde with the energy of, say, New Orleans music of the 20s and 30s and the Duke Ellington Orchestra. Did you like that kind of energy, that combination of contemporary adventurousness with the early spirit of jazz?
It was a very difficult period for me. Let's be truthful about this.
Okay.
I was like a fish out of water because I didn't come up playing that type of music, nor was I playing it ever up until that time. And I was just listening to that recording and knowing what I was feeling then when I was playing it, you know? It's hard to explain in words. But I like to use the word interesting because...
Oh, yes. I know.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, I was trying to find my way within the on the sharp edges of that music, because that music was atonal in a lot of ways,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I came up in a tonal world, you know? So it was geometrical, if you can understand what I mean by that, you know, trying to fit sometimes like trying to fit a triangle into a square.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that it was scientific in that way, so I enjoyed the scientific aspect of the music, and I enjoyed being from another culture. It's like being from another culture, trying to play into another culture's thing. That's really all it's about. And you don't know what it is, but you try to figure out what you can do to help it. And that was my job, you know, to try to make it better than it was, or try to add an ingredient that they did not have.
So, you know, being from a small town, being from the South, being from a tonal world, did you sometimes feel like you were in another country when you were in New York playing?
Look, you just read my mind, because that's just the way I felt. I always felt that New York, the island of New York, is another country, you know, when you really look at it, you know. It's an international feeling, of course, but I could be anywhere. You know, I've been in other places, it feels, has the same feeling, out of this country.
You've said about your own music, I've been put here to relieve tension. Which, that was a very interesting thing to say. Tell me what you mean by that.
Well, I guess I've felt that all my life, because I always felt that people had little problems, you know. Even in the first grade, I felt that people were so... uptight or not comfortable with themselves or their surroundings. And I always had a sense of humor, and I think I used my sense of humor to relax people, to relieve tension. I found that was my job in my community, in school, in my family, or whatever. Even now, today, I find people are very, I don't know what word to use, but not comfortable, you know? And being an artist and entertainer, I felt that my job was to relieve tension, because, you know, when I get up on stage, the light comes on, I look out in the audience first. And I'm comfortable, and they are not. And they paid to see me. And I used to always wonder why. They should be really comfortable. I should be the nervous one, you know? But I found it's the other way around. People are just not very relaxed. I don't know what it has to do with the culture, or has to do with human nature or whatever. The human being is very tense. Very aggressive, and can be very scary. So I felt the way to help myself get through this maze of uptightness is to have a sense of humor and to be a stress reliever myself. You don't have to go to the pharmacy to get me. I'm right here in the flesh.
How did you get your name, Oludara?
An African priest, a Yoruba priest, spoke to me one day. He said, you know, I was dealing with coconut shells, reading coconut shells the other night, and asked my God through the shells what your name was, you know, in another life. And the shells told me that your name was Oludara. And the name fit me so perfectly. This was in the 60s.
Is this when you were in the Navy?
Right after I got out of the Navy.
Uh-huh.
It means God is good. And I accepted that name. I called my father and told him that I had accepted another name that fit my personality.
What'd your father say? I think sometimes parents would be very offended by having, you know, the family name replaced.
Well, he just said, are you a communist? That's all he said. That's all he said, and I laughed, you know. You know, I think he thought it was a Russian name or something, you know.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.
Oludara, from a 1998 interview with Terry Gross. Here's some more music from his new CD, Neighborhoods.
I want to go to the movies, you're me and my baby. Come on, let's go. Let's go. How about a popcorn?
As soon as we hit the door, my two brothers Bell and Quans sitting in the front row. They bought the candy. We don't need nothing more. I love a movie show, I tell you, in black and white. I don't care what it is, I don't care how small the theater is, I don't care who's playing, I don't care how long they got popcorn and candy bar. Butterfly McQueen, she's gone with the wind. I love the film of Anthony Quinn. The Creature from the Black Lagoon, Red River, Color Purple. I love the movies. Clark Gable, all the women out there, the Barrymores and Sidney Poitier.
This is Fresh Air.